What an incredible and impressive man. We were speaking a little bit earlier about Eskom. Eskom at the moment, and that voice note that was indicating the absolute destruction of the entity. This is all preempted by, you know, and I spoke about how the executive at the moment has not done much in the last, what is it now, 2 years. In fact, it's gone from bad to worse. But we also, if you're watching the Zondo Commission, you'll find that there tends to be a large amount of historic or legacy destruction that has brought us to this point. All right, my Binge Club guest is now ready, so I will let you listen to what I wanted to let you listen to from the Zondo Commission with respect to the involvement of President Zuma directly in the Eskom board's activities, but we'll come back to that shortly. Let's pay attention to Matt Green, who's going to join us now for Binge Club. We've got three TV shows that we want to discuss with you. Very excited for this week's edition. Matt, welcome back.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Hi, thanks. I'm good. And you?
I'm excellent. A good 2021 to you. Very excited for this week's three shows, a completely different segments, I suppose, of the market, and I suppose appeal to anybody. Funnily enough, all three appeal to me. I'm target market for all three.
Oh,
fascinated
nice.
By fascinated by cults, as you know, love the industry of finance, and I mean, who doesn't like a nice romantic romp through Victorian times?
Exactly.
Let's kick off.
And it's,
yeah,
it's perfect binge weather as well.
Isn't it just? Okay, so let's kick off with the first, which has been taking the world by storm, Shonda Rhimes, famously the creator of Grey's Anatomy,
Grey's
as well
Anatomy.
As Scandal. Yes, and has got her $100 million contract with Netflix, and this is the first that we're seeing come out of Shondaland, which is Bridgerton.
Yes, and it does not disappoint, or at least it didn't disappoint me.
No.
I was completely enthralled by it. Yeah, it's something that we haven't seen in a long time. I don't think there have been many shows that have been sort of set in the past, that's set in Regency London, and it focuses largely on the romantic entanglement of specific families of the time. And it's just so interesting to see how the arranged marriages, or the pressure to get married, I should say, is so strong, and how they entangle and weave and plot to actually find the love of their life and secure their future. It's very interesting to me.
It is. It has a feminism about it, insofar as it looks at this from the lens of how various women have to survive those times, and are under pressure from the Queen herself and Mad King George, in her marriage to Mad King George, to, you know, the Bridgerton sisters, who are now facing the coming of age, being the scrutiny that comes with, and of course the importance from their mother to other mothers who are helping women who are coming of age, the scrutiny that is imposed upon them to be women of standing in society, even though they have no role to play in making themselves women of standing.
Yes, and I love, for the most part, the women don't just accept their lot in life. They are actually active, in pursuing their goals. It's not just like kind of like they're told to marry so-and-so, and so they have to do it. They actually have agency.
Absolutely. What's interesting about what we're saying about agency is you wouldn't expect that, considering the fact that this show is based on Julia Quinn's novels, which is, you know, I suppose, what do we call it? Soft chick lit?
I would call them bodice rippers.
Oh, I like that. Absolute bodice ripper. And it comes out with a great deal, which one usually, I suppose, discounts the quality or the...
Yes.
The gravitas of a bodice ripper, and yet this comes across really strongly on screen.
Yes, and I also love the fact that they've brought it into sort of like modern times with a sort of Gossip Girl type figure, with the lady Whistledown, who kind of reveals the secrets or the kind of gossip of what's going on at the time.
And narrates us through the importance, I suppose, of these various things. The key issue here is between the Duke and Daphne Bridgerton. But you don't even need to have you don't even need to have the storyline. But basically, it's around coming of age. Daphne Bridgerton comes of age. We go through the dynamics that we just described, and a mysterious Duke comes to town, with whom she forms a situationship, one might call it.
Yes.
Z has sent us a WhatsApp saying, "Good morning, Rufila. Bridgerton is such a binge. Sleep was even sacrificed, and I'm not the binge-watching type, but wow, I so wish it was more than 10 episodes. So happy that there are 8 more seasons coming." So it's definitely resonated well.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's something you just can't stop watching.
Yeah, great. Well dramatized television. Speaking of drama, it doesn't always have to be scripted. Wild Wild Country, a very, very interesting one, speaking about the controversial guru Osho, who created a utopia in the middle of Oregon.
Yes, and it's like I didn't know anything about it going in. I've been a bit obsessed with cults recently, with the NXIVM thing or whatever. So I thought, this is about a cult. Let me have a look. And it was so intriguing. Yeah, from start to finish. Like, it started off relatively normal. It's like, okay, so this is a cult, but it's not, like, they're a little bit off-center, but it's not too dramatic. Like, but then as it goes on, and more is revealed as to the lengths that they will go to protect their way of life, it's super interesting.
Also, when you say that it's not that dramatic, it's so true insofar as when it is set. It's a documentary, obviously, so it's based on actual events. It was set around the 70s. Love movement, the Krishna movement started to come in, particularly in the United States. A response also to, the violence and the injustice of the Vietnam War. People were looking for a peaceful approach to life. And so the hippiedom doesn't seem out of place at first, right?
Yeah.
And then, as you say, it creeps into this vastly commercialized world where, this keen guru from India is now really focused on Mercedes-Benz's, Rolexes, and Ray-Ban aviators.
And what I also found quite interesting was his personal assistant, Sheila, who's actually quite a large force within the documentary and the community. And it's her, I don't know if that's the right word, but political savviness, or her ways of countering all of the sort of attacks that are made on their community. So, like, political, like, they can't be a town because of their location or because of the zoning. And, all of these different things that she then finds, like, I guess, legal ways around. But yet they become more and more extreme. And so, like, I think go ahead.
Mm-mm, please, you think perhaps?
Oh, and I was just saying, if she had chosen or was in a different political position, she could do amazing things for the world. It's just a shame that this is the path that she chose.
Interesting that you say that. So I wasn't going to mention my Anand Sheila, his wife, as you say, his 2IC. Her ambition, her pure ruthless ambition, is powerful. She is the star of the show in the end, even though the Osho is the heart. She is the classic Machiavelli to the prince, and was outstanding. Her consequences ultimately you should watch the documentary. And then finally, very briefly, industry. A young group of graduates enter a top investment banking firm. I've definitely experienced this, and it was brilliantly put together. What were your thoughts? This is all based in London.
Well, I think what was quite interesting about it is that it's very much a Grey's Anatomy, but in the finance world, where you have a bunch of diverse sort of interns or like newbies who are just entering the industry, and it's how they're fighting for positions within a company. So I found it quite interesting, although I would say that a lot of the financial stuff, it either wasn't explained very thoroughly for a layperson like myself, or perhaps I just, I'm not in that industry, so I don't understand it. So I understood the pressure and what they were going through, but I didn't quite always understand their goals.
Interesting you should say that. So, okay, as a person who's come from the industry, I found it accessible, obviously, but other people who are not have said that they found it accessible. TV shows like Devils, for example, get very convoluted in trying too hard to be authentic with the jargon, whereas in industry, what you are pointing to, the pressure, the angst, is really the drama. That's the thread. That's the dramatic thread, and you don't lose sight of that. Kind of like, as you rightly said, Grey's Anatomy. Half the time, I don't know exactly what the procedure is, but I understand.
Yes. It takes the emotional aspect behind the situations that they're in. And I suppose that's the type of things that I can relate to.
Indeed. We're out of time. Bridgerton, binge or cringe?
Binge.
Industry, binge or cringe?
I would say more of a cringe for me.
Oh, okay. Season 2 coming out. It's a binge for me. Wild Wild Country, binge or cringe?
A binge.
All right. Thank you so much to you, Matthew Green. Always appreciate your perspectives on Binge Club.